This is my second week on the topic, New Year, New Wine. Now, if you didn't hear last week's, it's online, www.elamdunfermline.org. So if you go online and click on sermons, it's still on 2024. We've not got a new one set up for 2025 yet. But if you go into 2024, the latest sermon is New Year, New Wine, number one. And it was a fantastic revelation from God's word last week. So if you missed it, please go on and listen to it. So here's roughly what we said last week. We looked at the wedding in Cana, where Jesus turned water into wine because the wine had run out. So Jesus told the servants, fill these jars with water. And we brought this revelation that Jesus knew it was water. He wasn't under any illusion. He knew it was water, and the servants knew it was water, but Jesus called it wine. He called for what he wanted to see, and that is when the miracle took place. And then the new wine was so amazing, it was better than what they had before, because God saved the best for last. And he does the same for us. I brought a second revelation last week that the old wine ran out at the wedding. It's written there in the Bible, but at no point in the Bible is it recorded that the new wine ever ran out, because God's love for us and his provision for us never runs out. So today, I want to look at some more new wine, and this time it's spiritual new wine. So we're going to Mark chapter 2 and verse 22, and Jesus gives this analogy. He said, no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskin. The wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined, but new wine must be put into new wineskins. Now, a wineskin was made from animal skins in those days, usually from a goat or a sheep. And the new wineskins were soft and pliable. It was new leather. But an old wineskin, the leather became hard and brittle. The new wine was still fermenting, so it needed room inside that wineskin to expand. And if it was put in the old wineskin, there was no room to expand, and it just burst it, and the wine was wasted. So for that reason, new wine was always put into a new, flexible wineskin. So when Jesus told this parable, the people understood immediately. That was their life. Their life was new wineskins and old wineskins, and they knew exactly what he was talking about. Now, this was a very physical example of a physical, actual wineskin, but it's also a really good illustration of what God has done for us spiritually. You see, we are the new wineskins. We're born again and we're new creations. And it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And if we're in Christ, it means we've asked Jesus into our life to be our Savior. We've said, Father God, I don't want to do this life on my own anymore, so I'm asking that you come into my life and be Lord of my life. And we've done that. It means that we're now in God's care. We're in his hands, so to speak, and we've asked him into our lives. And the Bible says that God immediately adopts us into his family. He doesn't wait for us to be good enough. He doesn't say, well, Sandra, that's fine, I love you, but you need to clean your act up first. He just goes, fantastic, come on in, you're part of my family. You know, he doesn't wait for that. He accepts us just the way we are. And the Bible calls this being born again. We're not physically born again. That is not possible. It's our spirit that's born again. We spiritually become a new creation. The old spirit is replaced with God's Holy Spirit. So now God lives in us. It's a whole amazing process called the divine exchange, where he takes our old spirit and he gives us his new spirit. When we ask Jesus into our life, he makes us into a new wineskin. We are now a vessel that carries God's presence. And then he fills us with his Holy Spirit. And that's like being filled with new wine. So here is my revelation to sum up all of that. We are the new wineskins, filled with God's spiritual wine, and we carry God's new wine on the inside. Everywhere we go, the presence of God comes in and it never leaves. So everywhere we go, we carry the presence of God with us. And I don't know if you're like me, sometimes you meet new people at work or wherever, and you just get the feeling they don't like me. And actually, it's nothing about me because I'm okay. But something in them is recognizing there's something in me, and it's the power of God. And they're not comfortable with it. They are not comfortable with the power of God being around them. We're filled with his presence. We're filled with his love. We're filled with his joy and his peace and his power. There's enough power in you and me to heal the sick and raise the dead. God poured a treasure chest of riches when he filled us. My big question today is, do we believe it? Do we believe that when we walk into the office on Monday morning, the presence of God is going into that place? Demons are going to flee out the window, and some people are not going to be happy because you're there. And their knees are going to be knocking together because what's in you is upsetting what is in them. It's just instant. I met someone at a coffee morning once, and I'd been told about this person. I knew this person's name. I knew they were going to be there. And the minute I met her, I thought, whoa, there's something in you that does not like what is in me. And you know, when someone can't give you eye contact, they can't look you in the eye and say, how are you? And their head's all over the place and all around the room. I thought, you're not comfortable because I carry God. So we need to believe what we carry and don't take some things personally, because if we're rejected, it's only because Jesus was rejected. Now, last week we talked about the wedding in Cana, where we said the old wine ran out, but we also said the new wine never ran out. And that is still God's promise today. He never runs out. God's Holy Spirit in you will never leave. He will always be with you. The minute we make a mistake, the Holy Spirit doesn't run for cover. He doesn't somehow leak out onto the pavement and run away and never come back. He is in us through thick and thin, and every mistake we ever make, God already knows about, and we are already forgiven. He will never leave. It says in Ephesians 4 and verse 30, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. I love that, because I always picture on the inside of me that there's this space like a well. You know, it should be filled with something. So people are walking around living their lives, but always looking for what's missing. There's always something missing unless God comes and fills that well. So when we ask Jesus in, the Holy Spirit comes like new wine and just fills the well on the inside of us. And then God puts a seal on top of it, like a royal seal. You know, kings, they write letters, they put the wax seal on and they stamp it to say this is a really important letter from the king. And when my mum used to make jam years ago, she would seal the top of the jam just with some greaseproof paper. Some people put wax on the top of things to seal them in. They put a very fine layer of wax on top of the jam. I've seen that as well. And it seals in the goodness and keeps all the germs out. And God does that with us. He seals us. The Holy Spirit comes in, and it's a royal seal. It's a seal from the king on top of our well in our life that says, you have received the promise of my power, and it will never leave you. So that's a fantastic little scripture. No matter how many times we get it wrong, God still lives in us. You must believe you carry the new wine. God poured it in and it is still there. No matter how many years ago he poured it in. I believe God wants to do something new in all of us this new year. He wants us to believe who we are in Christ. A new creation, sealed with his Holy Spirit. If we could just grasp that one truth, our whole life would be transformed in 2025, in this new year. If we could just grasp the fact of how much power is in us to change our lives, and it's up to us to speak it out over our life. We pour it out over our life with our words. That's so important. Here's another way to look at the fact that you about the new wine, and it says you can't put new wine in an old wineskin. We've said that. And that means you cannot put the Holy Spirit, the new wine, in a person who isn't born again. So these people that don't like you, these people that rub you up the wrong way, these people that are hard to live with and hard to work with, it's because they're an old wineskin. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them, because it's not possible to put the Holy Spirit in someone who's not invited him in, who's not said, I want you in my life, who's not born again. Because if you're not born again, you're still an old wineskin. So I want us to note this, you must be a new creation to receive the Holy Spirit. And that's what you are. That's what we are today if we've asked Jesus in. Do you realize how special that is? Do you realize how special that makes you? You're not just going into work on Monday morning, you're going into work with God on the inside on Monday morning. You're not just going into that doctor's office on your own. You're going in with the power of God on the inside of you to bring down any stronghold, to break any negative words that they speak over our lives. It's amazing the power of God that we have inside us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you and it's in me. That is mind-blowing. There was such an explosion of power when Jesus was raised from the dead that graves opened and dead people walked. And that power's in us. You know, you're just a little stick of dynamite walking about on two legs. We are a power pack of the Holy Spirit. And we take him everywhere we go. You used to be natural, but now you're supernatural, filled with God's power. You're not an ordinary man or woman. You are Superman or Superwoman. Turn to someone today and introduce yourself and say, hello, I'm Superwoman. Hello, I'm Superman. We are Superman today and Superwomen in God. We can't walk through walls. We can't fly with a cape. And hopefully none of us are wearing our underpants on top of our trousers. We managed to get dressed ourselves the proper way. But folks, it's even better than that. It's even better than being able to walk through walls. It's even better than being able to fly with a cape on. We are accepted by the living God. We don't stand in our own strength. We stand in his. Whatever we're facing, we need to go in and say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. I'm not on my own facing this thing. I'm doing it with God. We're a new vessel filled with the power and presence of God. The new wine lives in us. Not just for this week or this year, but for eternity. And it never runs out. The presence of God in us never ends. That is amazing. We should be running around the room waving our undergarments in the air. We're so excited about that. I want to take a little look about the story of Lazarus. If anyone needed to be a new creation, it was Lazarus. He was not having a good day. Now, Lazarus was a friend of Jesus, but he became sick and then he died. So he definitely needed a new creation. And by the time Jesus arrived at Lazarus's home, this man had been dead for 4 days. They'd already put him in the tomb and rolled the stone over. So it was a done deal as far as his family and friends were concerned. Now, traditionally, the Jewish people believed that the spirit of the dead person could hang around the body for up to 3 days. So up until day three, perhaps a miracle was possible. But this was a 4th day. So they had no hope whatsoever of anything good happening. They had no hope whatsoever. In their eyes, a miracle was no longer possible. It was a done deal. He was dead. He was deader than dead. He was deader than the dodo. So there's so much we can learn from this story, but today I only want to look at one thing. You'll be relieved to hear. We're only looking at one thing, and it's this. What did Jesus do to bring about a miracle in this man's life? Last week we looked at what Jesus did to bring about a miracle at that wedding, to turn the water into wine. So what did he do to bring about a miracle in this dead man's life? He'd been dead for 4 days. He was in a tomb. The stone was rolled over. His life had gone from bad to worse. So how's your week been? Was it the same as Lazarus? Was it better? Was it worse? Has your week gone from bad to worse? Do you need a miracle too? Okay, well, you're in the right place to hear about it. So here's my first revelation. To see a miracle, you need to speak in faith or act in faith or do both. Do both of these things. Last week, Jesus turned water into wine. Well, not just last week, but, you know, in the message last week. It was a few weeks ago, 2,000 years ago. He turned water into wine. He spoke in faith that wine would appear. He did the speaking, and the servants took action. They acted in faith. They did exactly what Jesus told them to do. They filled the water pots with water, and they acted in faith, and guess what? Wine appeared. We brought the scripture from John chapter 2 and verse 8, where Jesus told the servants to draw some out. They put an empty cup into these water pots, and they drew out wine. The physical act of putting a cup into the water was enough faith to draw out wine. Jesus knew it was water, but he called it wine. The servants knew it was water, but they acted in faith. So my revelation is the key to a miracle is faith-filled words followed by faith-filled actions. And sometimes we need both. And it was the same for Lazarus. Words of faith plus actions equaled a miracle. So here's just two verses from the story of Lazarus, John chapter 11 and verse 43. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had been dead came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." I'll bet there was a party in Bethany that day, okay? So again, Jesus called for it. When he turned the water into wine, he called for it. You draw out the miracle. He called for it again with three words, "Lazarus, come forth." That was it. Those were the three words. He said, "I'm not believing that this man is going to stay in the state of death. I'm calling him forth." And a dead man wrapped in cloth came out of the tomb. The people knew the man was dead. Jesus knew the man was dead, but Jesus called him to come to life, and life entered his body. Jesus called for the dead to come alive. The man heard him and acted on it. Out he waddled, wrapped in the grave clothes. Lazarus walked free of sickness and death, and it was a huge miracle in anyone's eyes, but especially to the Jewish people. And all because Jesus called for it. He believed it, he spoke it, and he did not doubt. So how are your prayers doing? Are you believing them? Are you speaking them out? Or are you doubting? The minute we've prayed, do doubts come in? Because they think, well, it's not happened yet. Not happened this week. Didn't happen this month. And the doubts come in, and we start to speak out the doubts more than what we want to see. Let me give you this small thing to think about. Doubt will destroy your miracle. So get rid of it. When doubts come into our mind, we need to push them out because they will destroy your miracle and you'll never see it. The way to receive a miracle is to call for it and not doubt. I'm going to finish with a very simple example. Let's just imagine you've got two pets. Okay, so let's imagine Neil and I have got a cat and a dog. We have neither. We've had goldfish and hamsters. That's our limit. But let's just imagine we've got a cat and a dog. Now, if you want the dog to come, you don't go out and call the cat. You know, it's tea time. You've put Rover's food in the dish. And you want Rover to come to you, not Fifi the cat. Who do you call for? Rover. You get out there and say, "Come on, Rover. Come on, boy. Come on, boy. Dinner's ready." And you call Rover until Rover comes running down the garden towards you to get his dinner. You don't call the cat. You want Rover to come and get his dinner. You want to see Rover at your feet. There's no way you'd be silly enough to call the cat. You say, "Sandra, that's useless. I'm not going to call for the cat if I want the dog, because that's total stupidity and useless." We do it all the time. We do it all the time in God. We call for what we don't want. "God, I'm sick. God, I'm still sick. God, it's not moved. God, the situation's not changed. We call all the time what we don't want instead of calling for what we do want. You know, I'm depressed. I'm fed up. I can't take anymore. That was my week. I know what your week was like, but I said to God, I'm depressed. I'm fed up. I can't take anymore. That was my week. I was calling for the cat. And I should have been calling for the dog. You know, I was calling things how they were. I was calling for the problem and not calling for the answer. Don't call for the sickness if you want to see healing. Speak the healing out until it comes. Don't repeat the doctor's report if it's not what you want to have. Say out loud, God's heard my prayer. Healing is entering my body right now. I am healed because Jesus has paid for it. And I'm claiming it in Jesus' name. Speak the word of God over your life. Don't speak the problems if you want to see the answers. And if you don't see the answer right away, don't give up. No one says, well, I called for Rover once and Rover didn't come. I give up. It's useless. He must be dead or under a bus. You know, you've only asked for Rover to come once. You shout for it. So here's another revelation right here. Here's something, if you don't go home with anything else, you need to go home with this one statement. If you call for the dog, you need to expect the dog. You need to expect him to come. You need to know the dog is going to come because you're calling for the dog. We must expect to see the answer. There's my revelation. Call for what you want to see. Don't call for what you can see. Don't repeat the problem over and over. You'll never know what will come to you unless you start to call for it. Jesus called for the dead to come to life, and life came. You know, I need to expect to see the answer when all I'm taking to God is the problem. And that was me just this week. I need to expect that God's heard me, expect that he's listening, and expect that he's going to give me what's right for me at the right time. You know, the disciples nearly drowned in a storm, but Jesus called the storm to be still. At 90 years of age, Sarah was called barren, but God called her to give birth. Goliath called himself undefeated, but God called David to destroy him. Gideon called himself the least in his family, but God called him a mighty warrior. God has blessing upon blessing to give us, but we need to call for them, and we need to expect them to come. So are you expecting in God? Are you pregnant with the things of God? Are you pregnant with good things, with dreams, with plans for the future? Because we need to be. If we want to see the new wine this new year, we must take action and call for it. We ask the worship team to come up.